Well, I would like to welcome you all again to the second Sabbath of 2015. Still a brand new year. Everyone is usually curious about what's going to happen in the new year and what new things it'll bring. New experiences, opportunities, jobs, places, friends, even new family members. Most of you have had some troubles in the last year. Some of you have had some downright hard times, some hard spells, and are a little apprehensive about looking to the future. Things like illness and financial troubles don't go away by themselves. As we look at 2015, I would like to offer some words of hope and inspiration, possibly even wisdom, and certainly encouragement to those people that are possibly struggling. Shall we pray? Father God, thank you for another wonderful Sabbath, a time to pause and recharge our spiritual batteries, to simply enjoy this time that you've set aside to be with us. We look at a future that may have grown grave unknowns, but we know you and you know us. Every little problem, every big problem, every little thing about us, and when we stumble or trip, you've promised to catch us, help us up, and strengthen us to continue on the walk before us. And sometimes you will carry us through the worst parts of our lives. We only have to accept and take that first next step. Strengthen us, Lord, that we may eventually weather even the worst trials with the calm assurance that you are in control and that we may stumble time after time, but you will never let us fall. Amen. Well, I'm hoping that you're all wondering what the sermon of the title has to do with the troubles of a new year. 4x4 Christians is a term I came up with when I gave my first little mini-sermon. The term 4x4 refers to the off-roading vehicle long before there were quad bikes and those little ATVs that they have now. It embodies all the characteristics of toughness, durability, strength, and the independence deriving from that all-important ability to venture out into those most treacherous, and hardest to reach places. I found a striking resemblance between the people who drive them and how they deal with obstacles in their journeys to Christians who also meet with obstacles in their life journey. Hardcore off-roaders often say, and this is the rule of two things, you absolutely need on any trek is the universal tool, a shovel, and your buddy. If you didn't get stuck or didn't break something, don't worry, you will. You go off-roading, 4x4ing long enough, you're going to. It's a certainty. There are many tools you can use when you get stuck, but the shovel is what time again gets you out. A little bit of hard work. Winter or summer, if you can't get yourself out, or worse, something does break and you can't fix it, your buddy can come and save you. Of course, if you follow the two things rule, your buddy is right there and in communication with you, most likely laughing at you and taking a picture, knowing his turn is coming. Persistence, hard work, and supporting each other are what get you through a long, hard trail. And they say stuff like this: I can do almost all things with a good buddy at my side. It's not a stretch to a real off-roader. If you've seen some of the videos on YouTube, you know they believe it. So the first thing that you can be guaranteed is that you're going to get what? You're going to get stuck. As 4x4 Christians, we can count on stumbling, falling, getting stuck, or broken down. It's only a matter of when. For the 4x4 Christian, everything depends on what we do next. Do we use the two things rule, in this case, the Bible, as our universal tool, and Jesus to carry us through and, yes, ultimately save us and take us home Or do we give up because the trail is too hard? Let's look at our scripture reading, if you would turn with me now. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Let's look at the word though, at the beginning of verse 24. Though he fall. Some translations say when he falls. Note that it does not say if he falls. There's a big difference between when and if. The latter states a probability. The former declares a certainty. David understood that all believers fall eventually. We stumble, we lose our way, we struggle, and sometimes we trip and fall on our journey. Being born into sin, no one is exempt. We all fall sooner or later. It's what happens when we fall that makes all the difference. We can summarize the teaching of this text in two simple sentences, or statements, pardon me. The first one, God ordains every step we take, the good and the bad, the happy and the sad ones, the positive and the negative. The verb ordered in the original Hebrew means to establish something. It's a very strong verb, so that it has a strong foundation. Proverbs 16:9 tells us that in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Same idea as our text. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. But this verb is even stronger. God not only directs our steps, he also determines or orders or ordains our steps. This includes our going out and our coming in, our laying down and our getting up, waking and sleeping, buying and selling, our talking and our listening, and our walking and even our driving. Because God, he is God, there are no accidents with him. Nothing ever happens to the child of God by luck, chance, or fate. No circumstance, whether good or bad, can come to us apart from God's determined purpose for us. And that can be a real mind-bender when you think about it at times. All of us wonder what the new year will bring. What will happen in 2015? Will it be a good year? Or a bad year for us personally? I have an answer. This year will be a lot like last year. In some ways, it'll be like business as usual. You'll have good days and bad days. You'll have some victories and some defeats. You'll be sick for a while, and you'll be well most of the time. Some of your prayers will be answered, and some won't. Some of your dreams will come true. Some will be dashed on the hopes of hard reality. Some of your plans will come to fruition. Others will remain undone. You'll discover that some of your friends will be there when you need them, and others will fail. In many respects, life will be the same next year, this next year, because we all face the same ongoing challenges in our walk with the Lord. But know this, your steps in the coming year are ordered by the Lord. He is in charge of the details of your life. The second statement, pardon me. God promises that when we fall, we will not be utterly destroyed. Some versions say, though he stumbles, he will not fall. With the subtle temptations, the constant bombardment of distractions and choices of this world, sometimes it's hard not to fall. Life is like that. We all stumble in many ways. But God says we can pick up and go on. The word translated utterly destroyed means to be cast headlong into a deep pit, like off the edge of the Grand Canyon. You're not coming back from that. But God will not allow anything to permanently destroy our relationship with him. Job 23:10, he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. When you are in the furnace, it is sometimes hard to believe that any good can result from the fiery trial. But God says, wait a while, and you will see pure gold. during the worst moments, having God's word and trusting in his promises. We take this by faith and hang on to God, believing that God will take care of us. Thus it is that Job lost everything. Joseph was cast into prison on a phony rape charge, and Jonah ended up in the belly of a great fish. Of course, Jonah was a very reluctant prophet, but he was still God's man for Nineveh. God said, I'm going to send you to the belly of a fish so that you'll have time to think about it for a while. He did, and eventually he was vomited out on the beach. Not a very pleasant experience. Job lost everything and gained back more than he lost. Joseph ended up the second most powerful man in Egypt. Sometimes our trials lead to a promotion. Other times we feel like we've been vomited up on the beach. God does it both ways. And we'll probably experience both if we live long enough. But God had bigger things in mind in all three cases. He wasn't through with Job or Joseph or Jonah, nor is he through with us just because we stumble or fall. Consider what Jesus said to Peter in the upper room on the night before he was crucified. And you can find it in Luke 22, 31, verses 31 and 32. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. This statement is so powerful because Jesus said it before Peter's threefold denial. In fact, Jesus said it just before Peter made his boastful promise of unending faithfulness. Imagine that. He said it before that whole thing started. The point is, Jesus saw it all coming. Knew everything before it took place. The boasting. The servant girl at the fire. The swearing. The repeated denials. The shame. The bitter tears. The guilt. And most miraculously, the restoration. He knew Peter, then Peter knew himself. He knew the steps Peter was about to take in the wrong direction. In a sense, he had more genuine confidence in Peter than Peter had in himself. By himself, Peter was just a braggart. But Jesus said, I have prayed for you. He didn't stop Peter from boasting or from denying. He let matters take their natural course. But he prayed for Peter, knowing that Peter at heart was a good man who loved him, and knowing that his denial was not the real Peter. The real Peter was the man who declared in Matthew 16:16, you are the Son of Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus allowed Peter to fall away, knowing that through his prayers, Peter would eventually return. And when he did, he'd be a better, stronger man, humbled by his failure, ready to serve the Lord with a humility born of painful failure. Though we may face desperate, life-changing circumstances this year, God will not allow us to be utterly destroyed. Nothing can happen that will sever our relationship with him if we hang on to the promise. Why? The reason is clear. He upholds us with his mighty hand. Isaiah 46:10 says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Think of a father walking along with his young son by his side. There's two ways to grasp his father and son might hold hands. The young boy may reach up with his tiny hand to grasp his father's huge hand. The problem with that is, it works until the child stumbles and he is forced to let go of his father's. But if the father places his huge hand around his son's tiny hand, the boy is safe no matter what happens, because his father's hand holds him up. He may stumble, but the father's hand upholds him. Note that the fall may be into trouble, calamity, catastrophe, or it may be a serious fall into moral sin. The breakup of a marriage, the end of a friendship, bankruptcy, or any sort of personal crisis that causes the loss of your reputation. Or it could be just a moral sin, a series of foolish choices that led you in a wrong direction so that you are hurt, you walk with God, and you hurt those around you as well. Sometimes the fall of circumstances cause a fall into bitterness. Abuse, anger, rage, abuse of speech, foolish decisions, or other sinful actions. The Bible repeatedly shows how easily this can happen to even the best people. The Bible tells us the whole truth about human nature. We see men and women who are faithful one day and fickle the next. We see Peter boasting, and then he is broken by his own sin. We see worship mixed with worry, courage followed by cowardice, faith matched with doubt, generosity followed by greed, kindness overcome by arrogance. We learn that strong people sometimes do very stupid things. Saints often act like sinners. Thus, Noah built an ark to save his family, and when the flood was over, he got drunk and exposed himself. By faith, Abram left Ur of the Chaldees, following God's call to the promised land. When he got there, he lied about his wife, Sarah, not once, but twice. Before Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, he killed an Egyptian and tried to cover up the evidence. After David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd," he committed adultery with Bathsheba and had Uriah the Hittite murdered in a vain attempt to cover his sin. And then, of course, there's Peter, the man with the foot-shaped mouth. These stories are in the Bible to instruct us and encourage us. They teach us that even the best men under pressure can do very foolish things. Noah is beyond the reach of temptation. The very godly people can make some very wrong choices and suffer greatly as a result, and cause others to suffer with them. It's good that the Bible shows us this, or we would be tempted to deny this reality. We like to think, "I'm beyond that temptation." Don't ever say that. You don't know what you're beyond. Today's victory may actually be tomorrow's defeat. Proverbs 16:18 warns us of this. "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." We need to remember, be vigilant, watch. Satan roams the world like a mighty lion, looking for Christians he can devour. And that's 1 Peter 5:8. You could even include overconfident Christians in that. Here are two other verses we should consider. "Though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again, but the wicked are brought down by calamity." And that's Proverbs 24:16. We may fall again and again. Trouble may come again and again. And we may struggle again and again and again. But it is the Lord's purpose that we should rise again and again and again. Psalm 145:14 declares that the Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. When you fall, remember this: God never intends you to stay down forever. He intends for you to rise up and keep on walking with Him. And then some applications of this very truth. Every detail of life is under God's control. Intellectually, we know this is true. If God is God, then He must know everything that's going to happen to us. And in some sense, we don't fully understand. All things includes both the best and the worst that comes our way. We have a lot of trouble with that worst part. Since every detail of life comes under God's control, we can remain confident and peaceful, even when life itself seems to spin out of control. An excellent example of this in history, of confidence in God's control, and a good example of a 4x4 Christian using the two-thing principle, his universal tool, the Bible, and his buddy, Jesus, is the work and legacy of George Mueller. When I looked this up, I was amazed. I was absolutely... Who has heard of this fellow? Oh, I see a couple, three, yeah. He's a Christian evangelist and director of the Ashley Down Orphanage in Bristol, England. He cared for 10,024 orphans in his life in orphanages that he ran. He was well known for providing an education to the children under his care to the point where he was accused of raising the poor above their natural station. He also established 117 schools, which offered Christian education to over 120,000 children, many of them being orphans. He did this for over 60 years. But here is the amazing fact. He never once took an offering, sent out a fundraising letter, or made an appeal for money. That's amazing. He depended on God for whatever was needed to support the work. His diaries record numerous instances when they had no food and no money to buy food. He would gather with his fellow workers to cry out to God for help. On many occasions, the help came while they prayed. A grocer would come by with bread, cheese, meat, and eggs, so the children would have breakfast in the morning. Mr. Mueller proved in his own life that you can take God at his word. After he died, someone picked up his well-worn Bible and began to leaf through it. Because Mr. Mueller was an avid Bible reader, its pages were filled with jottings from his daily devotions. Next to the words of Psalm 37:23, he had added two little words to his text. The steps and stops of a good man are ordered by the Lord. How true that is. For the Christian, the path of life is never an unbroken straight line to heaven. We all go through many dangers, toils, and trials in our way to the heavenly city. How good to know that our God ordains both the steps and stops in our life. Another thing to mention, God takes pleasure in our struggle to walk in the right path. Doesn't sound as bad as you might think. The last part of verse 23 says, and he delights in his way. The he refers to God and his refers to the individual believer. As parents are pleased with the tottering footsteps of their babes, God loves to view the spiritual strivings of a soul pressing towards heaven. Consider a father and his young daughter who is just learning how to walk. For months she's been crawling. Recently she's learned how to pull herself up and stand on her wobbling legs while holding her father's hand. One day she pulls her hand free, wobbles for a moment, tries to take a step forward, and falls down. Does her father spank her for falling down? Of course not. He smiles a bit at her tears, and then he helps her back up. Good parents know that falling is a necessary part of learning how to walk. If you never fall, you'll never learn how to walk. And parents do their children no favors by being so protective that their children never fall down. Better that a child should fall 100 times than never learn to walk. Falling isn't fun for the child, but a wise parent knows that falling always comes before walking. It's not that the father enjoys seeing his little girl fall and shed tears each time, but he rejoices to see her growing and straining to learn something new. This applies directly to the falls we take spiritually. Our struggles are necessary, even if they are not pleasant or easy to endure. Sometimes, often, sometimes we bring trouble to ourselves by the foolish choices we make. And sometimes we end up hurting ourselves and those around us very greatly by repeating those choices over and over again. Again, marriages end, friendships are broken, churches are split. Our children suffer, and the cause of Christ is hurt by the things we say and do. Sin is serious business, and we never sin without hurting ourselves and very often those around us. I do not mean to say that God takes pleasure in our sin or that sin does not bring punishment. But when we sin, we sometimes wrongly conclude that God must hate me now. And in our despair, we want to hide in a closet and never come out. How could God ever take us back after what we did? The answer is, God loves his children with an everlasting love. Nothing we say or do can ever separate us from the love of God. Romans 8:38-39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when we turn back to him with trembling lip, deeply guilty, fearing the worst, thinking all hope is lost, we discover the good news that he's waiting with open arms for us to come home to him. When the prodigal son finally came to his senses in the far country, having wasted his inheritance on wayward living so that he ended up eating with the pigs, having rehearsed what he was going to say, feeling no longer worthy to even be called his father's son, in the midst of his shame and despair, trudging down the long road home, after all that, when he was yet a long way off, his father ran to meet him, hugged him, and smothered him with kisses. When your children disobey and you punish them, do you hate them, or do you love them? You punish them because you love them and because your heart is broken over their disobedience. The same is true a million times more of our Heavenly Father. The things we suffer because of our disobedience prove that God still loves us. He waits anxiously for the slightest turn in his direction. No matter what we've done, if we will return to the Lord, he will abundantly pardon us. As Isaiah 56:7 says, "Let the wicked leave their way of life and change their way of thinking. Let them turn to the Lord our God. He is merciful and quick to forgive." We also need to understand that God permits us to fall when he could stop it. If he permits it, then what he permits must ultimately be for our spiritual benefit. That's a hard truth sometimes for us. Not the fall itself, but what we will eventually learn from it. God allows us to suffer when he could stop it. Not that suffering itself is good, but it is often the pathway to an enormous blessing for us. Third thing to think about, we will not utterly fall because God will not let us go. Though we stumble and fall 1,000 times, God's love is firm because his purposes are eternal. Our salvation rests not on our performance, but on God's unchanging character. This is where the persistence of the 4x4 Christian comes into play. Godly character can only be developed in the crucible of life. It's a hard thought sometimes. Where we fight many battles with the world, the flesh, and the devil. The temptation to quit, to despair, to give in to bitterness, to flee the struggle, to yield to lust, to give in to greed, to indulge ourselves, to walk in pride. These things either destroy us or they make us stronger. Prayer and Bible reading alone cannot make us godly. We need the struggles of life to make us and our faith in our eternal buddy, Jesus, stronger. There is another important truth in our passage that we need to understand. God is at work in our trials and in our falls in a way we never dreamed, never knew, and never saw at the time. I have many experiences with that in the when you think about it afterward. Think about the blessings that came or the things that you avoided. Nothing is wasted with God. All things truly do work together for our good and for God's glory, even though we rarely see that in advance. Here's a thought that may encourage you. If it is possible, God loves you even more when you struggle because that's when you need him most. When is a father most honored? When his children are in trouble and turn to him for help. Even so, our God is honored and shows his special care for his children when they go through struggles here on earth. I'll close with this thought. I'm going to change a little bit what I said earlier about what 2015 might be like. 2015 can be anything you choose it to be. God will not put you in an unbearable situation in 2015. But he may put you in a situation that seems unbearable so that you will turn to him. Remember that God does not give his strength in advance, but only when needed. Each day this year, you will have what you need. We may therefore go forth into the new year with confidence, hope, and joy. Be encouraged, brothers and sisters. The future rests in the hands of a God who loves you more than you can imagine. You may stumble this year, but you won't completely fall. This is God's promise to you. I leave you with a verse that most of you have memorized. The verse is Philippians 4:13. It reads like this in the familiar King James Version. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I like this one. It's a translation of the 20th century New Testament. And I'm going to repeat it a couple of times. Maybe we can get it in our heads. Nothing is beyond my power in the strength of him who makes me strong. I'll say that again. Nothing is beyond my power in the strength of him who makes me strong. You think you can remember that one when things get tough? Now you're talking like a 4x4 Christian. Amen. Lord, thank you for being so patient with us. Though we fall 1,000 times, you are willing to pick us up 1,000 times. If we claim your promise and take that next, first quivering step back into faith. Strengthen us, Lord, so that we may weather the storms that are going to come our way. For the many things that will happen in the new year, Lord, give us the courage to face them and the strength, knowing that you are our strength. We can do all things through him that gives us power and strength. We ask now for these blessings in your name. Amen.